My first son, Soren, turned 25 about a month ago, which meant, and I've been father for at least a little more than 25 years, and I realized in the beginning of my fatherhood, as I became a father, all those idealism I used to have, things changed quite a lot. I've learned a lot. There's nothing that I will do to change that, having four sons. Although it was a tremendously difficult years of, especially the toddler years, and you know, sons are rambunctious and going around. And but to tell the truth, ever since I was a kid, I loved kids. Because I'm the youngest one in the family, I always wanted to be taken care of other little kids. And then when I became a teenager in college, I was looking forward to being a dad. That was one of the things that I was looking forward the most about becoming an adult. But when I became a dad, and that's the peak of my busyness of being a pastor in a large church, and I was busy. I rarely got home on time, and then, you know, working so much. Especially this is for the Lord, and I really was running about 110 miles per hour. I didn't have a time to my kids growing up, and that's one of the reasons why. One of the key reasons why I resigned. After being a pastoral staff for 12 years in that church. And Crossway, I'm thankful. And the ample time of my time being spent with my sons, especially the first one, I mean the first three of them, that I missed those times. But the youngest one, my boy, I actually spent so much more time than in any of those three kids because I was at home one full year of the sabbatical year, and I was the one who took him by the hand to the kindergarten and picked him up and those things. It made a huge difference. But having been a dad for 25 years, the question that I've asked, what have I learned? What mistakes and regrets do I have? And I'd like to look to the scripture and share the reflections and meditation on that that helped me today. Mainly, the theme is not my personal experience, Paul Kim's experience, just of it. Here are the things that I, you know, my tips for you. No, actually, the thought was on following God's example for fatherhood. If God is the father, and the way he treated me as his child, and the way he lived his life, I mean, he showed himself not only scripture, but my personal experience with him. What is God the Father like? What's his fatherly heart look like? I present to you, there are two aspects of God's fatherly love. The first one is the tender love of God the Father. And there are several verses, but I chose only three. First one verse comes from Psalm 103, verse 8 through 13. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Second passage is from Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You see, God doesn't have gender. The best thing about motherhood came from God. The best thing about fatherhood came from God as well. So, important thing for us to remember as we go on is that we must not be confused. Anything tender and gentle is not just the femininity that mothers only need to do. Even the mothers need to have the other side as well, tough love. Isaiah 66 verse 11 says, as the mother comforts her children. So can you imagine that? Even we have experienced, we fell off when you were little, and then there's a little bit of scar and bleeding. We look for, first thing that we look for is, where's mom? And you run to her. And as we hug her and she picks her up, there's a comfort, unusual comfort that your child cannot get anywhere else. So Isaiah 66 verse 13 says, as a mother comforts her children, so God comforts us. That's the mother heart of God. This is also fatherly side of God's heart that we ought to emulate. One more verse. Hosea 11 verse 8. As most of you know, Hosea was a prophet that was given a living illustration of his prophecy to live out. The Israelites were idolatrous, and they were going astray from the Lord. And then Hosea was commanded to marry this harlot. The woman who is very careless about, you know, she would go off on having an affair with this man, and then Hosea was commanded, you stick to her and love her compassionately. So Hosea lives like that. And then verse chapter 11 comes, that God speaks, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And he went astray. And some of the things that was not just living on his own thing, the Israelites, but very hurtful, rebellious things, as if your wife is having an affair with some other man. And verse 8 comes, God says this, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? Ephraim was a son of Joseph, which means this is all about Jacob and Israel nation. is when you refer to Ephraim and Israel, the same thing. Israel was the new name that God has given Jacob, right? How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? Two cities where they're destroyed by God's wrath. I can't do that. God is saying, my heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. When I was reading this verse for the first time, it was another translation. And then the other translation says, my heart is turned over within me. And all my compassions are kindled. Our God is not someone who is changing because of, like, the weather changes. He's cranky at times. And when we do something wrong, he's like a policeman on the corner with the speed gun. Gotcha! You did something wrong. And I'm going to punish you. Let's summarize what we've been reading. God's fatherly tender love for his children is, first of all, merciful, which means compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, which means he is patient, and abounding in steadfast, unfailing love. His love is not fickle, in other words. He's forgiven, forgiving. He's sympathetic. And removes his children's sin far away, as east is far from the west. In other words, he keeps no record. He shows compassion, tender-heartedness to his children. If we are self-centered, and if our fatherly love is only self-centered, reactionary love, when our kids get straight A's or do something right and cute, kind-heartedness. Oh, my dear, I'm so in love with my children. When they do something wrong that is really displeasing, and it's downright very offensive, they rebel. Do we show kind-heartedness? Heavenly Father gathers his children in his strong arms and carries his children in his tender bosom. This is Isaiah 40:11 we just read. And it has both of that. His arm means strength. And his bosom means tenderness. He carries, another translation will say, literally the most close translation will be in its bosom. But that translation, I believe it's NIV, says, carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those sheep, and that literally it says those that are with young. So mother sheep, in other words. And I think it's very encouraging thing for us, comforting thing for us is that Our Heavenly Father knows our burden as moms and dads, and that what we need to provide and what we need to care for, and the fine line that we need to, you know, walk through as a wise, discerning parent. He gently leads those people who are burdened, those people who have a responsibility. But by the way, I know this is assumed, but I think I forgot to mention in the beginning of the message that this message is not only applied to all the dads in us, you know, among us, but every single one of us, because of two reasons at least. Number one, this is a depiction of our Heavenly Father. This is a relationship that we have with our Abba Father. And number two, all of us have some kind of responsibility that we are leading and caring at work, at home. And this is what Heavenly Father does in His own leadership. And a lot of things, are, you know, being a shepherd as well, and that is a father. So these are the sixth and seventh one. His heart is torn, turned, or recoils, and all his compassions are kindled when his children rebel and go astray. Let's think of a moment on that. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on you? Especially those times that you even disappoint yourself and you're disgusted about what you have done and how you have behaved and how sinful you've been, and you realize that the guilt is there, and his heart grows warm and tender because of all these compassions that kindle. That's fatherly tender heart, tender love. Now let's look at the other side, the tough love of God the Father. The first passage is from 2 Samuel chapter 12, chapter 7, verse 12 through 15. This is King David's era, and God is making covenant and promises to David about what his offerings will be. Verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and when you lie down with your fathers, David, I will raise up your offspring after you, implying to Solomon that we know, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And this is referring to coming Messiah, the son of David, Jesus. The spiritual meaning is implied in there as well, not just a physical offspring, Solomon, right? But it goes back and forth. In verse 14, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. God is saying, I will love your son with steadfast love, unfailing love. I will never give up on him. But I will discipline him if he does wrong. Hebrews 12, verse 6 through 10, is similar thread in that, but the New Testament also echoes the Old Testament's God's fatherly, not only tender, but tough love. Verse 6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not son. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respect them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he, God, the Father, disciplines us for our own good, that we may share his holiness. One more. This is a combination of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 and 6 and 7, and Ephesians 4. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down, and when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And Ephesians 6:4 says, summarizes again, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's summarize fatherly tough love of God. Seven things again. But number one, he corrects his children when they do wrong. So I think in order for us to understand true love, that we need to look at God's heart, how those tough love and tender love coincide together instead of contradict to each other. He corrects his children when they do wrong. He disciplines whom he loves, but he will never stop loving them. Heavenly Father disciplines his children for their own good, to share, why? In his holiness. To cause them to become like him, to be more holy. He urges fathers to teach their children God's word diligently in all situations, and he calls the fathers to train their children so that they learn to live in God's way. And Proverbs 22 is a famous verse, train up a child in the way they should go. Even when he grows up old, he will not depart from it. So that's the essence of tough, firm love God commands every father to. But the Abba Father cautions fathers, earthly fathers, not to provoke their children to anger. As much as firm love and tough love is not without compassion, tenderheartedness, patience, the same thing, the tough love is not used as to provoke anger. in our children. Oh, how many times have we all made a mistake in the name of tough love? And I'll share some of my experience towards the end of this message. And seventh and last, he urges fathers to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Remember I said the lesson that I learned? I thought about how I lived my life as a father. And I rationalized one aspect of God's fatherly love that I lack. I rationalized how? Because of my temperament. Or because of my upbringing. Because I didn't have a good model. Because I didn't see how a strong dad could be such a gentle, patient, tender hearted. And at the same time, I didn't have a model who is gentle father, who is just full of compassion and love, but at the same time, firm training to a point that coach makes, shapes the runner, the player to reach the point that person is strong enough. So let's refocus our fatherhood with those two aspects. Number one, refocus your fatherhood with God's fatherly tender love. There are four questions that I've been asking and meditating on. Might be helpful for you. Do my children feel my tender, compassionate love for them? Of course they do. No, don't assume. Let's ask them. Especially even, you know, when it's, you know, private and they could be free. Another thing that I think we could say, how often do they feel that way? Second question, when was the last time I showed my compassion and tender love to him, to them? And third question, when would my children especially need my patient, gentle love for them? Fourth and last question is, how can I grow in God's fatherly tender love? In two ways. How can I grow becoming like God the Father who has a tender love? How can I increase my tender love in my parenting? But also, we cannot empower what we do not possess. Meaning, how can I grow in my relationship with God's fatherly tender love? Do I really feel God's love that way? What scripture and which way do I need to meditate, and do I need to confess, and do I need to cling to the Lord? You see, the difference between Heavenly Father and Earthly Father, Heavenly Father is perfect, but we are all imperfect because of our tainted heart, sinful nature. So there is no perfect Father. But at the same time, when we look at our Heavenly Father, the images that is tainted from our fatherly, elderly father affects the way we treat Heavenly Father. As if the Heavenly Father is waiting in the corner to punish us. The change in the image of Heavenly Father actually can change the image of our earthly parents. We could love them more and even love ourselves in that way. takes intentional step as earthly father. I want to share two examples. One is when my son, all four sons were young, I wanted them to play sports and, you know, little leagues. One of them, at least all three of them went through that, and Soren said, no thanks. So, but Seth had a passion for baseball all the way to his middle school, and then he quit. He was almost going into the travel ball, and it was too much for him, and just he quit, and he focused on his study and in ASB and all those other things. And to this day, he regrets. Dad, one thing I regret is I quit baseball. He loved Dodgers. And during high school days, I took several days to plan to take him to Dodgers game. And I'd never been there myself. So in a way that I think, where do we get to eat first before we go? How early? Where do I park? And how do I buy the tickets? All those. I had to just ask a lot of friends and basically went out of that. And I, as a matter of fact, I actually bought Dodgers shirt and baseball cap. And we went there. I said, didn't seem anything different. But because of that experience, he keeps on bringing it up. And this year, he's a third year in college in UC Davis. He's coming down next week because his girlfriend bought Dodgers tickets because he talks about Dodgers all the time. Have you seen the game, Dad? You know, Otani is playing in Dodgers. And there was a Korean guy, the Ryu Hyunjin. Do you know he's a pitcher? So we've been talking on that. So he's coming down. I have the free tickets there. Make sure you set aside Friday. So we're going to go. So I'm looking forward to it. Last year, my son Soren was doing internship at this Frida Cinema, very artsy cinema in 4th Street in Santa Ana. And his internship was making poster for the special movies. That was one of the special week, the 50th anniversary of Enter the Dragon by Bruce Lee. And he knows that I'm a Bruce Lee fan. My childhood and teenage life was all about him, and you know, he's the reason why I went into Taekwondo all the way to black belt. So he got the free tickets and we sat in. I never connected with Soren that much that way because I felt like a little kid, and then I felt embarrassed sitting with all these men, old men. I guess I'm one of them. You know, like a little kid, like Bruce Lee shows up on the screen, they clap like this. The second story. When was the last time my son really specially needed my patient, gentle love? I think I told the story before, but allow me. Bear with me to tell this story. Silas, when he was in high school, he was in cross-country team. And during the summer, and you know, his team was doing practice running. But Silas is very absent-minded. Like a lot of times, he's thinking about something, you know. So his team was going for, you know, running around the Foothill High School, but there are people who are jogging in that street as well. So because he didn't pay attention, he followed the wrong crowd all the way to I-5 and Red Hill around there. It was a hot day. It was a summer school. I mean, there was a summer school's off and only training in the morning. during the weekdays. And I got a call from AM, PM. The clerk said, do you have a son named by the name of Silas? Yes. Can you put him on the phone? And he said that I got lost. And I don't have a cell phone. I don't have anything. So by the time when I got there, his sweat became like a dirty marks on his face. He looked so pathetic. And first thing I bought, I just bought a bottle of water to drink this. And he was trembling because I was about to scold him. And by nature, I'm more like a drill sergeant to my sons. By the mercies of God, I was prompted. And he says, Silas, I'm so glad you're okay. It's okay. And Silas is not an affectionate guy. And he hugged me and said, Dad, I love you. To hear that was so good. Because I didn't expect him to appreciate that much. Let's look at the other side. We focus your fatherhood with God's fatherly tough love. And similar questions. Do my children feel my tough, firm love for them? How often? Is it once in a long time? But is it like a training coach building up to a point that I couldn't be there on my own, that my dad is helping me? When was the last time I showed my children my firm discipline and instruction of the Lord? When would my children especially need my tough, firm love for them? How can I grow in God's fatherly tough love? Once again, in our relationship with our children, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father as well. One of the best things that I did, and I want to encourage, especially those of you who have a young'un, before they drive and, they could spend time and all their attentions go to their children, their friends. Ever since they're little kids, I wanted to build into them the God's Word. And we started with a fun day, and I will get the children's Bible, the easy one, like the four children, ranging from, every 2 years for four kids. So it's hard to get everyone. And land of the Bible study. Bible story. That was a little thing that I did before their mealtime. But I realized that they can't really. Sawyer insisted, children's Bible story. And then Soren and Silas losing interest. So during the summertime, I took them out to Panera Bread and a quiet time together. And their reward was Asiago bread. That bread with cheese, it's so good. It's just with butter. But as we were spending time together alone, and at the end they will share. And to my surprise, their insights were incredible. Some better than adults. It's one of those Bible study time or quiet time with them. Two of my children received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I think it's important for us to continually be mindful of doing intentional one-on-one. I want to urge you to not to shy away from difficult conversation. And should I mention spiritual conversation? Because our kids need that firm love. A few weeks ago, as you know, my brother passed away, and my wife Kate told me so and so is coming home. They're worried about you. They knew how intimate and close I was to my brother. And as we are, you know, like preparing for memorial service, even Seth and except Silas, who's in Korea, and came all together and having dinner, one of my sons prayed for me. And I still remember that. Lord, in spite of sorrowful loss, help my dad be satisfied in you. Find deeper satisfaction in you. I know that language. And it became his. This past Thursday was Sawyer's birthday. And it's a tradition that I do one-on-one. Where do you want to go out? You know, you pick a place. And then we went to brunch place. And then he starts sharing, Sawyer sharing, that tomorrow, my birthday, I mean tonight, my birthday, I'm sorry, it was Friday lunchtime, brunch time. Tonight, I'm getting together with some friends to have a Bible study. And these his friends who are not believers are coming. We're going to study the book of Acts. And I'm trying to put together what the Bible is all about to introduce them. I was really proud. But at the same time, I just want to make sure that, think with me and those things. Because he's welcoming. And by the time when we got home, you know, I was introducing about 4 or 5 books, and Kate was, don't overwhelm him too much. And no, these are all reference books. And just the fact that, Sawyer, are you sure you want to have your birthday night for this Bible study? So, he came home and glowing. It went really well, Dad. And lastly, John Piper's quote helps us to be focused. He writes, the happiest and holiest children in the world are the children whose fathers succeed in winning both their tender affection and their reverential and loving fear. And they are the children who will come to understand most easily the mystery of the fatherhood of God. So let's refocus our fatherhood by following both two aspects of God's fatherhood. By 3 things. Number 1, examine yourself. Number 2, take a step. Number 2, seek God's reliance. Examine yourself. Which is stronger and which love is weaker? My confession is that in the family, you could be free much more. So that's why behind the closed door, family is accept of each other's, you know, innuendos and different idiosyncrasies, especially when they're kids. One of the regrets is that in the name of my personality temperament, I was harsh. And I still remember sitting down with, one of my sons. not too long ago, maybe 6 months ago, I want to apologize. I am sorry the way I treated you in the name of my best intention for you. I'm not saying this to make you say what you're sorry for and, you know, we come around and I could parent you better. But I realized one of the gentlest God-like love that I could provide as an earthly father who's imperfect, and I'm willing to admit my shortcomings. And I'm learning. What would be yours in terms of first step-wise? How do you not just tilt it in one side and rationalize? Oh, I don't like difficult conversation. I don't want to confront anything. That's not my style. Or in a way that teaching Bible or anything like a Pastor Einstein will do. That's why we send them to Friday Salt and Sunday. No, think about it. When I was a youth pastor, all these well-meaning parents are just asking me this. The things that they need to change, what the parents couldn't change them or instill in them. Think about it. I get to spend time with a few hours and you have whole week, every week. Who has the most influence? We are to take the responsibility. And God's reliance is this. Admitting our shortcoming, our brokenness, and our even upbringing that wasn't helpful. The side of, our earthly father's mistakes in our lives. We go to God and say, God, you are a perfect father. Teach me to change my perspective. And help me see the connection, how tenderness and toughness come together. I have a final challenge and encouragement to all of you. I just want to make sure one thing. First on, the winning the heart. I've seen some of my friends who lost their children. And they went through good school, and they have a strong education. And the parents had a complete, seemed like a complete control. But when they got out the door being independent, they don't want to come home anymore. They might be successful out there, but I don't want to be with my old man anymore. Do they get to come this Christmas and Thanksgiving? Is there hope? Why is that? Because it's imbalanced. They didn't win the heart. And I'm going to flip the challenge, and I think this is my last challenge for all of us. The most important thing in our lives, if we are truly Christian, God, our most treasured joy in our lives, to think about our kids to live apart from God and to deny God would be absolutely kind of nightmare, isn't it? Today is the day we need to intentionally pray for them. Pray for Holy Spirit to work in them and spend time having spiritual conversation with them, sharing the books with them, think aloud with them, and listen to sermons together. Think about what they think and what they're learning, what you're learning as well. And I believe Our Heavenly Father will be merciful in our imperfect Father. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for those two sides of your fatherly heart and fatherly love. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will empower us, enable us, illuminate us, so that we may emulate and follow after your example in our fatherhood, in our relationship with you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.